Hello and welcome to a Wednesday, April 10th edition of the Sports Ethos NBA DFS Today podcast. I'm your host, Harris, and I'm going to be going solo as we take on a six-game main slate here on a Wednesday night going into some of the final games of the NBA season. So we're coming off a night where we had just a ridiculous amount of games, 14 altogether, 11 on the main game that both Kenny and I covered yesterday. So it does mean that quite a few teams are coming into a back-to-back situation over here, which always makes, you know, one's ears prick up when we're trying to think about what availability is going to look like. It's already a bit dicey coming into this part of the season, especially with a lot of these stars. And, you know, given what we just saw, for example, with Giannis and his hopefully not a major injury going down tonight with a non-contact, said it's a calf strain at the moment. Hopefully it's not something that is longer term, but we're going to have to wait and find out. But clearly, keeping your stars healthy is everything at this point. So what you're likely going to find is it'll be a lot of outsized value opportunities from some of these value and mid-tier picks that are really going to be getting the big minutes coming into the silly season over here. And similar to what Kenny and I mentioned yesterday, it is likely a better prospect for you to focus your energies and your efforts on the GPP side of things rather than cash games, just given the amount of uncertainty and variance that we are likely to see, given the player availability and, you know, minutes totals in general that they're going to get, even if they do happen to be on the floor. But let's get right into it and talk about what that's going to look like. But of course, if you haven't already, get yourself subscribed to that Sports Ethos DFS Pass so you can keep yourself in the loop and on top of not only what the live injury report is going to bring you in terms of keeping on track on that good old availability versus questionable and the dreaded out, but also to get connected over to Discord so you can get all the way through to lineup lock with the DFS pros who've been doing this for years on end, giving you the best advice and making sure that you have that edge going over your opponents in something like a six-game slate as we have here. But jumping right into it, into the point guard slot over here, and really we're going to start at the top. And this is going to be interesting because we did have Emmanuel Quickley rest this first game in the back-to-back for the Toronto Raptors when they faced off against the Indiana Pacers for their last game, home game of the season. Now, Quickley, to his credit, his last two games on the floor has been just on absolute fire, putting up 60-plus DK points in both of those games and just really racking up the stat sheet, not only just as a pure scorer where he's obviously going to get really as many shots and as many attempts from downtown as he'd like, but it's really his playmaking that's taking a really solid positive trend as far as Toronto is concerned, and we're going to have to see what that looks like heading into next season. But Quickley should end off on a good note over here, and I wouldn't be surprised if RJ Barrett ends up resting the second game of the back-to-back over here with him having played that first one. Again, Toronto is definitely with one eye towards lottery balls over here, and Brooklyn, you know, very much in the same kind of scenario, but really it's just a battle of, you know, who can get a little bit of a moral victory going against each other, because they're pretty well set where they are as far as the conferences are concerned. So I do think Quickley will get the opportunity to continue playing in his regular minutes over here and hopefully put up another big line. It's kind of sticking with that mid-tier side over here, and another one who I think has the opportunity to put up a potential big line, given how much of a disappointment from a scoring perspective his season has been so far. And that's Darius Garland, who's sitting at 7,700 here going into a matchup against the Memphis Grizzlies. Now, of course, that blowout possibility is absolutely on the cards over here, especially with the spread sitting with Memphis 18.5 points on the plus side over here. So definitely a lot to potentially consider. But Darius Garland getting those shot attempts up, even in matchups that haven't necessarily been the greatest results as far as Cleveland themselves are concerned, does give a little bit more comfort in being able to go ahead and expect that he will still play anywhere between 35 to 36 minutes and be able to put up, hopefully, those kind of increased field goal attempts that we've seen over his last couple of games and really over the last week as he's started to get a little bit more involved as far as offense is concerned, which is definitely something that Cleveland has been lacking as far as the whole season in general has been concerned from Darius Garland's end. And for him to get back into some sort of regular groove is going to be a big thing for them heading into that postseason. Jumping right into the value side of things over here, and we got to see Milwaukee having been on a four-game losing streak coming into tonight's game against Boston, which even though Giannis did go down with that injury, ended up pulling out a pretty big win for them, 104-91. And much of that did end up going to Patrick Beverley, who got pushed over into the starting lineup, replacing Malik Beasley over there, ended up playing 26 minutes and had himself a excellent night out on the field, 20-10, which is obviously a huge night for him, putting up 40 DK points. Now, at 4,900, I'm obviously not expecting him to have the kind of game that he had up over here, but given the fact that they are on a back-to-back and also that Giannis is, for all intents and purposes, not going to be playing that next game over there, I do think that there are a good amount of opportunities with some of these Bucks, and Patrick Beverley should get another opportunity to be able to play big minutes in this game as Milwaukee continues to try and secure that second seed going into the last couple of games of the season here. As we kind of mentioned earlier and in yesterday's podcast as well, the standings, especially in the East, are just incredibly tight going into the last couple of games of the NBA season. And really, if the Bucks were to get on another losing skid, they could easily find themselves dropping pretty precipitously in the standings, getting into potentially that fourth, if not fifth seed, depending on how other matchups happen to shake out. So definitely can't afford to take their foot off the gas here. And I expect Patrick Beverley, even though he's not necessarily the highest upside of players over there, should get enough minutes and enough opportunities to be able to hopefully beat out that price tag pretty comfortably over here, as he has two of the last three games, and put up some more of those numbers that we have been seeing. Moving on to the shooting guard side of things over here, and again, I'm kind of avoiding some of these expensive picks up at the top over here, because the ones that I may have a little bit more interest in come a little bit further down in the slate over here, but really starting up at that mid-tier area with what we saw with Brandon Miller, who continues to put up some pretty solid numbers going into the last couple of weeks of the season here, and regardless of the fact that Charlotte is not always keeping things close. In fact, he lost by 26 points in that game against Dallas tonight. He still ended up playing 35 minutes, put up a very serviceable 21-6-4 night en route to a 41 DK point night over here. So, you know, the pace that Charlotte ends up playing, and also the fact that there aren't really that many ball handlers that Charlotte can continuously find themselves relying on, Brandon Miller has found himself in a very solid position to be able to put up a lot of shots and a lot of points, even if his ancillary stats aren't necessarily the eye-popping kind on a night-in, night-out basis. But still, he has that upside to be able to put up 20 real points at a 7,100 price tag. That gives you a pretty solid floor with the minutes for him to be able to go ahead and work with. As we know, Atlanta is definitely not a defensive stalwart by any means as far as their team's concerned. And between them and Charlotte, this should be one of the higher-paced matchups in the six-game slate that we're focusing on today. So regardless of the fact that Atlanta is favored to win pretty comfortably over here, they also have to keep into account that they're also coming off of a back-to-back on their side as well. In fact, a back-to-back in which they had to deal with overtime as well. So obviously not a fun scenario as far as they are concerned, and there might very well be some tired legs out there given the amount of minutes they've played. So that can only really spell good news as far as Charlotte's concerned to hopefully keep this game closer and allow Brandon Miller to have another big night over here. On that same token, I do think I can run it back on the other side with Bogdan Bogdanovic as well. And I'm trying to avoid players like DeJounte Murray, who obviously put up a monster night over here. And for Bogdanovic, who actually had a pretty stinker of a night, especially from downtown, where he ended up putting up just 1 of 11, played 45 whole minutes, but still shot 4 of 17 from the field and only ended up with 17 DK points. So he's absolutely going to be looking for a comeback match over here, given not only has he had a couple of solid performances as far as Charlotte themselves are concerned, but also just for himself to get back to that shooting and scoring binge that he was on to end the month of March over here, has gone on a little bit of a cold streak over the last couple of games in April over here, and this is as good a chance as any for him to be able to turn it around. People might be a little bit scared off because of not only his cold streak, but also the price being at $6,900, but I think this is a good opportunity for him to kind of right the ship as far as his fantasy outlook is concerned, not only for this game, but also just in general for what we're seeing. Going a little bit further down over here, this is actually going to be a pair of Toronto Raptors that I think are going to be worth taking on here. So first off, you know, we mentioned the fact that the Raptors are absolutely on a tank situation over here, especially with a lot of their main starters continuing to be just out. We did see RJ Barrett come out and play this game. We'll see whether he ends up playing on the back-to-back. Quickly, who did rest out the first game, should probably play the second one over there. So it's going to be interesting to see what that final rotation is going to end up looking like, because Javon Freeman Liberty could be in position to have another good game over here. He has been finding himself in a pretty consistent kind of high 20s, low 30-minute role. Had a very efficient night tonight, putting up 7 of 10 from the field en route to 20 points and 8 rebounds, which, again, from a guard scenario, and also against a Brooklyn team, which really outside of Nick Claxton don't really have all that much size going in the front either. So you do see guards getting the opportunity to be able to put up slightly outsized board numbers and have that go alongside their point as well, because they're able to attack quite well on what is a relatively weak perimeter defense as far as Brooklyn themselves are concerned. So for the Raptors on a back-to-back, their secondary, I don't want to call them secondary, tertiary pieces really are the ones that are getting all the minutes at this point as the tank continues to try and make sure they keep a top six pick, which will allow them, of course, to not have to give away that one to the Spurs and hold on to that picks restriction that they have over there. So keep that protection, keep that top six, and hopefully that means Freeman Liberty can have another good game over here. And on the other side, where it's probably less upside, I'd say, but more of a kind of safe pick that you could potentially go in with as well, and that's Bruce Brown, who's sitting at 5,200. We saw against Indiana, got to play 28 minutes in that one, put up 26 DK points, which is pretty much right on value for what he is over here. That being said, I'm keeping an eye out on whether Grady Dick is going to be playing on this game as well, because if that happens, that's likely going to be where Toronto focuses more of their minutes, and likely that comes at the expense of someone like a Bruce Brown. So again, that live injury report, incredibly important. Keep yourself absolutely abreast of that going into lineup lock over here, which the good thing is that the Raptors are one of the early games on as far as the slate is concerned. So definitely something that you should hopefully be able to get an update on prior to that first game locking, and really just giving yourself a little bit of opportunity to be able to put them into potential play here. Moving on to the small forward side, and this is where, as I said, it can get a little bit interesting over here, because I do think that from a pure price perspective, there are a couple of very solid options as far as their price tags are concerned. The real question is going to be pure full-on availability. So first off, I mean, taking a look at the Miami matchup, which from a numbers perspective should be a pretty close matchup over here. But again, as I mentioned earlier, Miami's coming off a hard-fought double overtime win against the Atlanta Hawks over here, in which a lot of their starters ended up playing some pretty huge minute numbers. Tyler Hero, 47 minutes. Jimmy Butler, 44 minutes. Bam Adebayo, 47 minutes. So it's going to be interesting to see if everyone is available in the game. We already have a bit of an inkling that Tyler Hero, who is obviously still ramping himself fully back from his injury, but has had a very solid comeback there and had a very good night up against the Atlanta Hawks here, is likely to sit out the second half of the back-to-back here. On the other hand, Miami's in a position where they're only a game and a half back of Indiana, half a game back of Philly, and frankly, two games back of what could be as high as the four seed over here. So they're definitely not looking to kind of relegate themselves to that bubble and give themselves as much kind of opportunity as possible to get right into that top six. So it's not that they're necessarily in a position to be able to rest guys like Jimmy Butler. And if he is active for this game at 8,200, I'm absolutely all over Jimmy in this matchup here. I think that he is just a perfect play for the kind of pace that this matchup is going to be, and also very star-driven in the perimeter. Jimmy Butler is going to be not only heavily involved on the defensive side, having to kind of handle what Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving are going to bring, but also need to be completely involved as far as the offense is concerned as well. So it just projects out to be a pretty good night to be able to take a Jimmy Butler and hopefully have him kind of keep up with the last two games where he's had 50 plus DK points at that 8,200 price tag, which obviously gives you that upside and gives a little bit more of a potential kind of
high-end night on a night with a lot of variability there. So someone to absolutely consider. And on the other hand, again, kind of sticking with some of the remnants of the double overtime game that was here, DeAndre Hunter, who's going to be facing off against Charlotte in this matchup here. Again, it's one of those things where he can have either kind of really good nights as he's had in against Detroit and against Miami in this last game over here, where he was able to put up kind of 40 plus DK points over there, with nights where he's going to put up 20 plus points and actually get his rebounding to be closer to that double digits number rather than the season kind of 4 or 5 that he's had. That obviously brings with it a little bit of risk over there. That being said, I do think Charlotte again remains one of those matchups where, especially in a scenario where the Atlanta Hawks are likely going to be trying to put this game to bed as early as possible over there, that means they're going to want a lot of turnovers being generated, and DeAndre Hunter as one of their premier defenders and also just premier wing guys to be able to go ahead and deal with not only top defensive matchups but also come to his own as far as his offense has been concerned for the entirety of the season here, especially his outside shooting. Is going to be something that they're going to be continue to heavily rely on. So 6,000 is a bit of a kind of middling price tag. I do wish it was kind of closer to that 55, 5,600 where I'd just be absolutely all over him, but it still is a very fair price tag with a lot of upside attached over to it as well. So I will be finding myself getting a decent amount of involvement with him as well. And then finally, as far as kind of cheap picks are concerned, and this is going to be related back to Miami with the hope that, well, not necessarily the hope, the understanding that Tyler Herro is going to be sitting out there, and that's Haywood Highsmith, who's all the way down to 4,200 at the moment, and he himself had a very solid game against Atlanta, played 35 minutes there, was able to put up about 26 DK points, which for his price tag very much is in that 6 to 7x range, which is exactly where you want for someone who's in that value tier. Likely to find himself with more minutes to help Jimmy Butler out, not only on the defensive end, but also be that guy who's going to be able to be a bit of a release valve on the outside. Hasn't necessarily been amazing on shooting from outside, but he has found himself to be a lot better at home, where he's actually shooting 50%, which is kind of crazy in comparison to 32% from outside and about 39% for the season as well. So hopefully it'll be one of those where Charlotte's perimeter defense just continues to be another opportunity for a wing guy to be able to use his size and his length advantage, which Highsmith does end up having on his end, to be able to get that going against Dallas in this case here, where he'll likely find himself with a little bit more of a kind of defensive deterrent in either a combination of a Derrick Jones Jr. or if they are going to be throwing a little bit more of, say, PJ Washington out on him as well, but he's still going to have enough opportunity to be able to go ahead and create that and should find himself with about 35 minutes in this matchup as well. So just a good opportunity for him to once again put up that 6-7x upside that he has consistently shown over there. Moving on to the power forwards side of things over here, and I'm going to start right off the bat in that mid-tier, again, taking into account that Giannis injury. I expect the biggest beneficiary that we're going to see in the short term is going to be a resurgence in Bobby Portis's offense and his minutes as well. I mean, we've already seen it kind of earlier on in the season where any one of the kind of major starters between Dame or Giannis is sitting out. Bobby Portis has been the one to be able to get not only his offense going, his field goal attempts usually go closer to that 15 to 18 mark rather than the 13 to 14 that he's been sitting at kind of otherwise. But he also gets his minutes to go up from that kind of low to mid 20s up into the high 20s, if not low 30s. So a lot of upside gets unlocked over there. And this is, from a spread perspective, expected to be the closest game of the night as well, with the Orlando Magic favored to win by one. So absolutely a toss-up game as far as Vegas is concerned going into this. And with the Bucks playing at home, they'll likely be looking to kind of back up on the fact that they got a big win against Boston, regardless of the fact that Giannis ended up going down. They still were able to go ahead and get their losing streak snapped, which is the biggest part for them, having been on four games in a row and, as I mentioned, in a very precarious spot as that second seed in the East. We'll want to be following up with that and have a big win coming over here as well, especially with the fact that they're up against Orlando, which is a team that's biting right on their heels. So Milwaukee definitely can't afford to go at all cold in this game over here, and Bobby Portis should be one of the key offensive options coming into this. So definitely one that I'm going to be spending a good amount of my exposure on, and also just kind of taking a look at where that's going to be. And then secondly, and this is going into the value tier over here, and technically you can put him in either the power forward or the center spot, and that's going to be Sandro Mamukelashvili, which with Wembanyama potentially looking like he's going to sit out the second half of the back-to-back, Popovich had that post-game where they're talking about they're looking into it, and I mean, at this point, he's locked up Rookie of the Year. He's obviously been absolutely incredible throughout the season, and there's really no apparent reason to absolutely rush him out given the fact that the Spurs really have nothing else to kind of go ahead and play for. So the fact that he started alongside Wemby in this last game, ended up with a very solid double-double, put up 40 DK points on here, likely going to be a pretty popular pick coming into this matchup here. But at 4,500, you just have to absolutely go ahead and eat up that chalk over there, because I expect that he is going to be someone that's going to likely look at something, maybe not necessarily into the 40s mark, but he should be able to put up 30 plus DK points in this matchup over here, and someone to potentially consider. And in that same price tag, just to give out another value option here, a Trendon Watford for the Brooklyn Nets is also going to be another very solid opportunity to be able to put up double-digit points as well once again. To his credit, he's been pretty consistent over the last really 2-3 weeks as far as pure point scoring is concerned, and the fact that his price tag was kind of bargain into the 3,000 marks for a while now before it now jumped into the kind of mid-4,000 marks here. It's still been a great opportunity of upside to be able to take advantage of something like that in the GPP side. He's shown his ability to be able to put buckets up in a hurry. He got all the way up to 18 field goal attempts in that last game against Sacramento, regardless of the fact that Brooklyn got blown out over there. We're likely to see a somewhat similar scenario here, a 220 game total with the Raptors, a Brooklyn favorite to win by 10. Trendon Watford should get the opportunity once again to be able to play some pretty decent minutes. And if he's in that kind of high 20s, low 30s mark, he's shown you that upside to be able to get not only very decent amount of rebounds for his position, and again, given the fact that Brooklyn isn't necessarily just full of size over there, it's really just Nick Claxton that's their primary rebounder, he should get more of an opportunity to be able to kind of rack up those numbers alongside being able to get into the mid-double digits as far as pure scoring is concerned as well. So another kind of high 20s, low 30 DK point night is definitely on the cards as far as his price tag is concerned. So between him and Mamukelashvili, I think you have two 4,500 options there, both who are dual eligible for both the power forward and center position. So I'm going to kind of piggyback on both of those over there that you can kind of fit them in where you need. I think both are going to be in a good position to be able to go ahead and put up some pretty decent numbers here. And kind of going on top of the center position in general, because we've kind of spoken about a lot of kind of cheaper options up over here. So I think you are going to have a decent amount of actual money left over on here. So I do think, again, given the fact that Miami's on a back-to-back, I'm a bit hesitant to go ahead and go all in on this. I do expect that Bam Adebayo is going to be in a good position here to also put up kind of 40 to 45 DK points, which for his price tag isn't necessarily the sexiest option. But really, as we've seen, there aren't too many kind of spend-ups on here. I may just end up having some exposure to Luka Doncic from my point guard position just because I'm going to have so much salary left over and be able to go ahead and see if I can just catch him on another one of those nights. And even if he's not necessarily absolutely destroying his salary, he should be one of the higher kind of pure point scorers of the night. But that same kind of extension does go to Bam Adebayo, who I do think from between the centers that I expect to play. As I said, Giannis is likely out. Wemby could very well be resting as well. So Bam Adebayo kind of fits that other side of some potential upside, not only from a pure offensive standpoint, given the fact that prior to that Atlanta game where he was a bit passive on there and played as a little bit more of a playmaker rather than a point scorer, had been coming in to the night before with 20 points scored in about 4 out of his last 6 games, and finding himself in a more kind of consistent offensive groove rather than his little bit more passiveness that we were seeing kind of near the early to mid points of March. So 8,500, a very fair price tag for a matchup that should be in his wheelhouse. Again, having a matchup advantage at the front court, really not much that's coming from the Dallas side to be able to go ahead and deter a lot of what Bam Adebayo should be able to have, which is that that matchup advantage with the guys that he's going to go up against. Daniel Gafford, as we know, is obviously a good shot deterrent, but he is a quite a bit undersized as well. And Bam Adebayo, being that stretch capability that he has, I should be able to bring him out to that that mid-range area and be able to go ahead and take advantage of that. And finally, and this is again another value pick. I mean, we already mentioned the two, both Watford and Mamu Kalashvili, that are in that 4,500 mark. But if you're feeling a little bit more frisky, we got to see Trey Jameson get the opportunity with Memphis to start once again, put up 30 minutes on the floor, even though they lost by 15. Still ended up with 14-9 on route to a 31.75 DK point night. 4,300 just continues to be a good price tag for a guy where Memphis is pretty much down to 8 rotation players that are going. They actually decided not to keep on with Mauzinho's contract coming into his 10-day and not renew him for another one for the rest of the season. So Trey Jameson really got left with a lot of center responsibilities over there, and was able to take advantage of that in that last game over here. So for the last couple of games, as far as Memphis is concerned, should be able to start most, if not all, of those games. Hopefully is going to continue to be able to put up kind of high single digits and low double digit field goal attempts there to go alongside anywhere between six to eight rebounds. Just gives you a good opportunity in that 4,000 range to be able to take advantage of that. That does bring me to the end of kind of my thoughts over here. As you said, there's just so much variability that you got to keep an eye on. There's so much of the understanding of kind of who's going to be available, who's injured, who's going to be resting, playing less minutes. Is the game going to be a blowout? Just so much to think about when you're kind of putting together some of these pillar plays and some of these value guys that you're hoping to get some outsized value from. So it's really going to be important that you get yourself not only with that Sports Ethos DFS pass, but you keep yourself connected not only with our live injury report, but with the pros all the way up until lineup lock. If you want to talk your lineups with me and talk to me about what your approach is in some of these slates going into the playoffs, hit me up on Twitter, on Instagram, at HAK_devil, and I'm more than happy to kind of walk through the process and really appreciate always all the feedback that comes through on there. But until the next one, I wish everyone a good luck. For those celebrating, I wish everyone a happy Eid. For those who have finished the month of fasting of Ramadan, but until then, we will see you on the next one. Let's take down some of those GPPs.